If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Romans chapter 3, that portion of the Word of God that we read together. Let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask for God's blessing to be upon the preaching of the Word of God tonight. Father in heaven, we are glad tonight to be in thy presence. We thank you, Lord, we can say, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. We pray tonight that thou would bless us then as we would preach about thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the darling of thy bosom, the one who came into this world and died upon the cross and took our sins upon his own body, endured the wrath of our God that we might be saved, that all our sins might be put away by the sacrifice of himself. We pray for help now to preach the gospel. We think of the words of Paul, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Bless the word to hearts. Remember those who's not saved. Lord, touch them tonight and bring them to the Lord Jesus, for we pray in his name. Amen. My text is well known tonight. It is Romans 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is estimated that there are around 6 billion people now living in this world. The population is growing so quickly, it is estimated that around 2028 there will be 10 billion people living in this world. Multitudes of men and women and boys and girls scattered all over this globe. Now, as we cast our eyes all over the world, we can see there are many divisions and differences among mankind. All are not the same. We look at the people's lifestyles. We see that some live in cities. Some live in desert places. Some live in homes. Other people, they live in tents. Some people are rich. Some people are poor. And so when we look over this human race in this world, there are many differences, even to do with lifestyles. We think of how people dress us. We can go to different cultures. We see people with long robes on them, the Western style of dress. We can see that people do not all dress the same. We think of how they speak different languages that are in the world. It is estimated that there are 30,000 spoken languages in this world today. Men and women differ in how they speak. One speaks with this tongue, another speaks with another tongue. And so there are many different languages among mankind. There are different, of course, in the colour of their skin. Some are black and some are white. Some are mid-brown. And so we can go say tonight that the list is endless. There are many differences between us. Many differences in our lifestyle. Many differences in our dress. Many differences in how we speak. Many differences in how we look. But here the Apostle Paul, writing to this church at Rome, he brings a lesson before them, because he says in verse 22, for there is no difference. And while there are many differences I have noted to you in our introduction, he's zooming in one point in the life of all men and women. Doesn't matter where they're from in the world. He says, for there is no difference. And there's no difference in this fact. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Didn't matter where they're from. If they're living out in the jungle, if they're living out in the desert, if they're living, dear friends, in this country of Tasmania, if they're living in Scotland, if they're living in Northern Ireland, doesn't matter where they're from. Doesn't matter about their background. Here is the inclusive all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And friends, I have to say tonight, that's true of me. That's true of me tonight in this pulpit. I want to say tonight, it is true of everyone in this pew. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is a universal crime that has been committed by all men and women. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want to look at the abundance evidence that man has sinned. Now there are great evidence that all have sinned. And I want to look at this evidence. I want to look at the scriptural evidence first of all. You see, the great question is this. It's not what I think tonight. And dear friends, it is not what you think tonight. But the great question is to all of us. What does God say tonight about this fact? What does this book say tonight? I'm sure every one of us here believes that the Bible is the very word of God. What does the Bible say? We can go through the pages. We can see very, very clearly. What does God say? What does he say? All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. That's what God says. Now, this is not Apostle Paul's notion. It is not a teaching of himself. He is speaking under the inspiration of God. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And God therefore says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's what God says. And that's what God says about you and me. That's what God says about everybody in Kingston. That's what God says about everybody in Tasmania. That's what God says about everybody in the world. All have sinned. That is the scriptural evidence. This is the voice of God. This is the voice of authority. It is the voice of the Lord. And the voice of the Lord is worth more than 10,000 other voices. You see, in 1 Kings 8 and verse 45 it says, for there is no man that sinneth not. Now that is very plain. There's no man that sinneth not. Doesn't matter who he is. The voice of God has spoken. It's the voice of authority. It is the voice of truth. Remember the Lord Jesus said, thy word is truth. Now what we read here in the Bible about us then is true. And God is saying, and the Bible is witness against us. And we're calling up tonight, in effect, witnesses against us. And we call up the Bible. And the Word of God says here that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this book says that you have sinned. This book says that you have come short of the glory of God. And this Bible says that everyone in this world has sinned. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Then not only is there scriptural proof, there's physical proof. When man looks at his deeds, he can see that he has sinned. If a man is really honest, or a woman is really honest, when they weigh up all their thoughts and intents of the heart, he has to freely admit that he has sinned. Aren't you glad tonight that nobody can see your heart? Are you glad tonight that people cannot see the secret sins of your heart? But God sees them. If everyone's honest here tonight, say, well, I look in my heart, I can see that I have sinned against God. If a man listens to all his words that he has spoken, has all his words, have they always been pure? Has all his actions ever been true? Any honest person here tonight will admit, this has not been the case in my life. This has not been the way of my life. There are times my thoughts, my heart has been wicked. There are times my words have been bad. There are times my deeds have been sinful. And we look even at the physical proof in our deeds. We have to go and say, yes, I have sinned. As James say in James 2 verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. If you have broken the law of God in one point, guilty of all. And so even in our deeds shows us that we have sinned. Even think that in physical proof of death. You see, this proves that all have sinned, because everyone living in this world is born to die. You know, we're not born to live. We're born to die. And from the moment we come into this world, a process begins. Now, we do get bigger, we get older, but a process begins the moment we're brought into this world to take us to the grave. And why is it that everybody in this world is going to die? Why is it everyone is going to the grave? Well, the answer is very, very simple. Because all have sinned. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And in Romans 5 and verse 12 it says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed," notice, "upon all men." Why? "For that all have sinned." Hey, there it is. God is telling, why is it we're dying? Why is it everybody in Tasmania is heading towards the grave? Why isn't everybody in this world is heading towards death? Well, it's very simple. Because for all have sinned. And friends, this is the physical proof that every one of us has sinned against the Lord. There are people who say, "You know, well, I have never sinned. I have never broken the law of God." I don't know whether people in Tasmania, but there's people in Northern Ireland. I've never done anything wrong. I've always been good. I have always went to church. And we're not disputing that they've tried to be good. We're not disputing the fact that they have went to church. But why are they dying? If they've never sinned, why is it they're getting old? Why is it they're getting weak? Why is it, friends, they're getting feeble? Why is it they're going to the grave? And the answer is very plain. Because they've sinned. Physical proof that all of us have sinned tonight. And then there's mental proof as well. You see, the conscience of man, it is in the conscience of man that we all have sinned. Away in the resources of his mind, there is an action, there is a word, there is a thought, there is a deed that he would rather live without. You think of there in John chapter 8, where it came through that woman taken in adultery. There they threw this woman down at the feet of Christ, and they demanded these men. The law says, "This woman is to be put to death. What thinkest thou?" We find the Lord Jesus telling them, "He is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And you know what the Bible says there in John chapter 8, "And when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience." Notice the words, "convicted by their own conscience." And the Lord said, "Well, if you have no sin, well, lift up the stone, well, and throw it at this lady." But dear friends, their conscience couldn't let them do it, because in their conscience, in their mind, was sin of their own hearts and sin of their own life. And so there was this mental proof that they had sinned, you see. Many a person has a skeleton in the cupboard they could do without. And yet, friends, it is there. And you program into your mind tonight, there are records, no doubt there are records, that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's mental proof. There's communicable proof as well, or evidence, because a man lives and dwells with people like himself. There are many witnesses can be called up to prove that you have sinned. Many. Man does not sin alone. Now, sometimes he does sin alone, but generally speaking, he sins with others. In clubs or pubs or sin of some other type. And so there are many people could stand up, "Yes, I saw that man sinning. I heard that woman speaking sin. I know about their secrets. I was there when they sinned. I saw the action. I heard the words. I saw the deeds." And there are many people. There are many people can say that they saw you sin. Think back over your life. Think of the crowds you grew up with. I know tonight I could bring a plane load of people from Northern Ireland, and they could give evidence against me that I had sinned and come short of the glory of God, because they heard me, they were with me, they saw me, they knew me. And so I'm saying here tonight, there is much evidence to prove that every one of us has sinned against the Lord. The abundant evidence is set before us here tonight that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there's also a judicial evidence. Now, the scriptures clearly teach of a day of judgment. And that's a day is coming before all of us. Everyone shall stand and give account of themselves of God. And the Bible tells us in Revelation 20 and the verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open." You think of that, friends. What a solemn day this is for the unsaved. Small and great, rich and poor, high and mighty, low. They're all standing before God, and it tells us here, and the books were open. What books? The records of people's lives. The record of their lives. And on this day, God is going to open up the book. And he's going to look at sinners right in the eye, and he's going to say, well, you did such and such a thing. And they're going to acknowledge and say, well, that's right. You said such and such a word. You see, friends, is this judicial evidence to come? When all unsaved will stand before God and they'll be judged according to their works because all their sins have been recorded, you see. And on that day, the sinner will freely own up that he has sinned. There are people today tell lies, people today are deceitful, people today doesn't want to own up to this fact that they have sinned against the Lord, but here, friends, on this day, and they're standing looking into the face of Christ upon the judgment seat. They'll all admit on that day that they have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, friend, the abundant evidence that we have sinned. As I said to you tonight, if you're not saved, all your crimes have been recorded by God. God has a note of everything about your life. It is all down in black and white before the Lord. Every action, every word, every deed, you see. There's much evidence that you have sinned. Are you honest tonight? You know, I meet people doing door-to-door work, and I ask them the question about sin. And they said to me, yes, Noel, I know that I have sinned. I know I have. I know I have done those things I should not have done. I know I have sinned against the Lord. Listen, I said, well, at least you're honest. Friends, it's good to be honest with God tonight. I have sinned. And I have failed. And I have come short of the glory of God. And if we're all honest, many times we have sinned. It's not just that we have sinned once against God. It is many times. Thousands, I would say millions and millions and millions of times man has sinned against God. And there's much evidence to back it up tonight. Don't think tonight that you're a good person. Don't think tonight that you're self-righteous. Don't think tonight because, friends, if you went to church from a little girl or a little boy, that's well with your soul. Because the truth is this, all has sinned to come short of the glory of God. That's the truth. That's the truth about you tonight. Didn't take me to come from Northern Ireland to tell you this truth. But that's the word of the Lord for every one of us, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's the abundant evidence of this truth. Then I want to look at the awful effect of this truth. Because man has sinned, it has put him in a serious position. And we think of the fact to do with man's separation. All has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, do you know tonight what sin has done to those who have sinned against God? Because the Bible tells us that because man has sinned, he is separated from God. Sin does not bring you into fellowship with the Lord. In fact, when we come to the Word of God, sin drives a man away from God. Separates him. You see, our God is holy. You know what's the lesson people forget today? They say God's a God of love. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe that tonight. God is a God of love. But God is a holy God. And sin and God cannot dwell together, friends. And the awful effect of this truth of man is sin, it brings his separation from God. Now you can find that over in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. You know, the book of Genesis is one of my favourite books of the Bible. I love it, reading the book of Genesis. Tremendous book. And I would urge you to read it. If you've never read the whole book, read the book of Genesis. It is a wonderful account, the historical account of this world, and God's dealing in grace with man. But nevertheless, you'll find there in the first book, when Adam sinned, yes, there was a time he walked with God. And there was a time God came down into the garden to meet with him. But it tells us here in Genesis 3 and verse 25, so he drove man out, and he placed at the east of the garden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And we find here Adam being driven out of the garden. Why? Because Adam had sinned. God had told him, don't be taken of the fruit of the tree of good and evil. But he did. He knew the law of God. He knew what God expected. But you see, he wouldn't listen. And friends, he would not obey the voice of God or the command of God. And yet we find here, when he sinned, that he drove out man. That's what God says. He drove him out. Now Adam was separated. But why was he separated? Why had things changed in this life of this man? Well, it's because he sinned. And that's what sin has done. There are other verses in the Bible. We think of Isaiah 59 verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. And here it tells us again, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And there's a separation, the prophet is saying. That there's something between you and God. And what was it? It was their iniquities. It was, dear friends, their sin. Man then, because he has sinned, well, he's like a sheep that has gone astray. He is now lost, and he's far away from God. And we have that hymn in our hymn book, I have wandered far away from God. Taking a man or boy or girl out into the far country. Is that where it finds you tonight? Are you away from God? Has sin come between you and the Lord, you see? All have sinned. And here is one of the awful effects of sin. It separates man. It takes a man away from God's presence, from God's purity, from God's person. Dear friends, man's separation away from God. Is that where you are tonight? Are you honest? You say, my sin has taken me away from God. There's a void in my life. There's an emptiness in my life. I know I'm not right with God. You see, man's separation, because he has sinned. Man's corruption, because he has sinned. That's another fact of this truth. Sin not only has brought guilt and shame to man, but it has utterly destroyed him. You know, everything about him is ruined because of sin. His speech is ruined. His heart is ruined. His feet is ruined. His eyes is ruined. His tongue is ruined. His lips is ruined. I just read Romans 3. They'll be read together. There is none righteous. There is none that seeketh after God. It talks about their throat, their tongues, their mouth. Their feet are swift to shed blood. And here is Apostle Paul, and he's showing that everything is wrong with man. Because when man fell, he fell greatly. He fell greatly into sin and far away from God, and he is corrupted. He is corrupted. That God says there's none good. No, not one. Not one. Not one is left. Not one in Australia. Not one in Northern Ireland. Not one in the world is left. Because all have sinned. I come short of the glory of God. Friends, that's why man is corrupted in sin. That's why he's evil. That's why his feet runs after sin. And tonight, if you're not serious, well, why do I live the life I'm living? Well, because you've sinned. Sin has affected your life. It has affected your mind. It has affected your feet. It has affected your hands. It has affected everything to do with you. It corrupts the man until there's nothing good in him. And that's the teaching of the Word of God, friends. That is the awful effect that people have sinned. Man's corruption. Now, it's so different. Now man is defiled. Now he is wicked. Now he is sinful in the sight of God. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's why you live the life you're living. Is that where it finds you tonight? Away from God, living in wickedness, living in sin. Oh, friends, sin has corrupted you. Then there's another thing, man's condemnation. Because a man has sinned, he is under the wrath of a mighty God. The Bible states it very clearly, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the law of God. That law, dear friends, has never changed. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And here is an awful effect of man's sin. Because he has sinned, the Bible tells us that he is under the wrath of God. The condemnation of God is upon him. And he will find that his sin will take him down and down and down into the caverns of the dam. We had to be faithful tonight to the word of God. There is a place. It's called hell. What takes a person to hell? It's sin. That's why. And because man has sinned, then he is under the wrath of God. In Romans 1 and verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. But notice the words. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. And here's Apostle Paul, and he's speaking here about the wrath of God. It is revealed. It rests. It will come upon all men who go on in their sin, who live in their sin, who eventually die in their sin, and they'll find themselves lost for all eternity. And friends, that's the awful effect of sin. Sin will take a man or a woman further than they want to go. There is a place of punishment. There is a place of destruction. There is a place where this holy God tonight that we're preaching, he will punish sin. He will punish sinners, and he will punish them forever and forever and forever. And that's what sin has done to people. That's the awful effect of sin. And your sin will take you away from God forever to hell. Oh dear friends, that is the awful effect of your sin. What a terrible thing it is, isn't it? You know, people laugh at sin. People tonight run after it, not thinking of the consequences. Not thinking what it has done to them. Not thinking where it is going to take them. And they're going to find themselves lost and lost for all eternity. Because the wages of sin is death. That's the awful effect of sin, friends. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Man then, or woman, is under the condemnation of God. They have broken his laws. They have disobeyed what he has said. And therefore it will bring forth death and destruction for those who go on in their sin. But can I say last thing quickly about the available excuse for people who have sinned? There's an available excuse people escape in verse 24. Why Paul said in verse 23, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Then in verse 24 and verse 25, he tells about a way of escaping. Because he says in verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Now, in a verse up above this, he's speaking about God's condemnation. And he's speaking about the wrath of God. And he's speaking here about sinners being punished. But you see the next verse? He's speaking about man's salvation. How can they be saved, friends? He tells them they can be justified. They can be forgiven. How can this be? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one way. Only one Savior. And while there are many sinners, there's only one Savior, and his name is Jesus. And when Paul paints this black picture in the early part of this chapter, how black it is, how awful it is, how humiliating it is for everyone who would look at it tonight, that we have sinned, that we're not good, that we have run after sin, that we have failed God, and yet he closes this book, or this chapter, to show the grace of God, the mercy of God, and how we can be forgiven. And it is through Jesus Christ being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And Paul said, yes, all are sinners, but there's one Saviour. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells them about Christ, his propitiation means the atoning work of Christ. How he shed his blood. How he died in our place. How he endured the wrath of God, dear friends, upon his own body. Bearing shame and scoffing root in my place. Condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Saviour. And that's what the hymn says. The Lord Jesus is your only hope. You have sinned, you need a Saviour. You need a Saviour. Listen, your church will not save you. You will not save yourself, dear friends. Your minister is unable to save you. Your priest, whatever the case may be, is unable to cleanse you from sin. But it's only Jesus Christ can save you. Justified by his grace, dear friends, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, you have sinned, but you can be saved. And that's the good news of the gospel. Man, if we stopped after the first 2 points of our sermon, oh, we all go out miserable tonight. Oh, I'm lost, I'm without hope, I'm without God, I'm without Christ, and on my way to hell. What a terrible message that would be tonight. But you see, the gospel's good news. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he can save you tonight if you're not saved. You must repent from your sin. You must turn from your sin. You must come to Lord Jesus with all of your heart. Say, Lord, save me. Give me everlasting life. Wash me in your blood, Lord. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than the snow. Oh, dear friends, be honest with the Lord tonight. He knows all about your sin. Confess it to him. Turn from your sin. Bring your sin to the blood of Christ. And you'll find, though you have sinned, that he can save. He can save. It doesn't matter how bad you've sinned. I don't have to know your life. I don't have to know the things that you have said or, dear friend, the things that you have done. But God knows. And the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin will go. If you have found Christ tonight with all your heart as your Saviour, despite the fact you've sinned, you'll be forgiven. And all your sins be taken away and you have everlasting life. And being justified by his grace means being saved. Being declared not guilty in the court of God's heaven. Just as if you have never sinned, all because of Christ. And all because of his mercy. Oh, I urge you tonight, if you're not saved, to come to Christ. To close in with his offer of mercy. Come and repenting from your sin, and he will save you. And he will give you everlasting life. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you need him, friends. You can live without Christ, but you dare not die without him. An awful thing to die without him, friends. To die in your sins, to be lost for all eternity. Flee from the wrath of God to come. May God give you the grace tonight to turn and put your faith in the Lord Jesus. May he bless his word to all of our hearts. Amen.